to give thanks. You know, we have a lot to be thankful for, especially in our nation, in this great nation, America. We have the freedom to do just about whatever you want to, as long as it's legal and as long as it goes along with God's law. It's your freedom, because you are free. That's something, you know, I've traveled this world all over, a couple of times all the way around. I've been in a lot of countries. I've been in a lot of foxholes. I've been in a lot of places where people were just scratching to keep alive. We don't have to worry about that here, because of our troops and our military that take care of business. And we've just got that much to be thankful for. Don't ever take it for granted. It's not free. It costs a price. And we have dear ones that are even paying that price today. So don't forget them, and don't forget to give thanks. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 10. And we have a chapter here. We covered it not too long ago in another lecture. And just to help you remember what it consists of, Christ is preparing his disciples, and he tells them in verse 1 of Matthew 10, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, that means his 12 learners. Disciples mean they're disciplining themselves in the scripture. He gave them power. He gave them what? He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. You know, that still applies to this day. That you have the power, the authority, dunamis, the word dynamite comes from it, to cleanse your house, to take out that is negative. You know, and you have Christians that allow arguments to take place like little, grown people, like little children. You know, which do I want to use, wieners or toothpaste? I'm going to use wieners today. You opened the wiener package the wrong way. That's not the way I like it. And just get into almost a knockdown drag out over how a package of something is opened. And they're Christians. They're mature. They're adults. You know, it's, don't ever let an evil spirit work into your home and cause you to act like little, well, little children usually don't act that way. I have another name, I won't use it right now. But be mature. He has given you the power and the authority. If you're a Christ person, that means a Christian, Christ man. Use it. That's why he gave it to you. And these disciples showed us the way. And he continues on down in, verse 16. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." What does a sheep have for their protection when they're among wolves? The shepherd. What he's telling you, I'm always right over your head. I'm always with you. The Holy Spirit is always there. And I can protect you. If you have the faith to believe upon me, I can take care of business. And he will. He certainly will. But to do this, you're supposed to be wiser than the serpent, which is to say Satan. Don't let him woolly your family around. You know, his main tool is doubt. And his second main tool is worry. And unfortunately, we have some worry warts. I guess they just feel like things won't come to pass right if they don't just worry their little old selves right down to the ground over it when it doesn't amount to a bean hill anyway. And just really tear themselves up when they've got the shepherd right over their head. That's not being wiser than the serpent. Okay, but he continues on. He said, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." Of course, that goes on all the way to the end times, when the spurious Messiah is here. That you will. He didn't say maybe. You will be delivered up before him. Why? For a witness, for a testimony, to let the Holy Spirit speak through you, as it's so well brought forth in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. So you don't have to worry. He's in control. And you're his servant, his child. He knows how to take care of you. And you can count on it. That's why you want to be so thankful to him. Let's pick the lecture up at the 29th verse, and it will actually begin there. That was just groundwork to get us synchronized. Verse 29 of Matthew 10, and it reads, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father?" That is knowledge. He knows it even when a little sparrow falls. 30, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Man, he knows what you've got. He knows what you've got upstairs, and he knows what you're capable of, and quite frankly, he also knows how much he can depend on you. You know, when he sends somebody out to do a job, he sends the best, okay? He sends those that can cut it. And the only ones that can cut it is those that know God's in charge and the Holy Spirit's going to take care of them anyway, and they're pretty well founded in this letter. And they're going to take care of business, and he can count on them. He knows that. There are many different gifts. Some are just simply having the faith that it strengthens others around you. It isn't necessarily a preacher. Little things go a long way with our Father. They are gifts, and they are gifts from him. 31, "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." That verse is why we came here. The word confess, as it is utilized here, is homologeo. And it means to covenant, and it means legally to witness. It's a legal term. It's not just confess. So I'm going to make a witness for you in the legalist sense to my Father that you're okay, that you can make it. It also means covenant and to thank you for having made that stand, for trusting him, and for having the intelligence and the wisdom to know you need the shepherd. You're a sheep. And you need his help. And he is right there. And he is ready. He knows if just one of his little sheep go astray. Have you ever done that? I hope not. If you were the one out of 100 that went astray, here he comes. Here he comes. And he's going to take care of business. But that word confess means to thank you. And to thank you. You know what? It's made up of two Greek words, homo. Homo means of the same time, the same spirit, of the same kind. Meaning, do you understand what he's putting you on equation with? That you're family. And then the last part of that word is logos. You're all familiar with logos. It's speech, witness, legal confession. To confess you to God as being good and thanking you all at the same time. It's real sad that the English drops so much from that word, even down to the thanksgiving, because that's what it means. He's going to thank Almighty God in your presence that you are of his kind, family, that you joined that family right when you became a Christian, and that and when you have those credentials being given you in thanksgiving right in heaven and to the Father. Think about it. Boy, have you got something to be thankful for. Simply in the word homo and logos put together, and the two Greek words into one, being pronounced homologeo, and meaning a putting forth of the hand, to covenant And it's a legal term to witness and in thanksgiving. Okay, let's go another verse or two here. Verse 33, and whosoever shall, 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, even in heaven. That's when he will say, depart from me. Oh, you don't understand, Jesus, we've healed in your name, we've cast out demons. Get out of my sight. I never knew you. Those are the words of Christ in another scripture to those that deny him when the Spirit is Messiah, that being the setting. Verse 34, listen carefully. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. Why would Jesus say something like that? Because the evil spirits and Satan at the time of, he's indicating here, will be here on earth. And do you know something? It was Satan's evil spirits. That controversy is even now. That war, that spiritual war, is right now. You live it. That's why you need that shepherd. That's why you need to say thank you occasionally. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. God can even use love to bring someone in tow. Look at Peter. Peter, when Jesus told him he was going to be crucified, said, oh, no, Lord, we're not going to let that happen. Not going to let somebody come along and take you. And Jesus told him, you get behind me, Satan. It was Peter's love for Christ, the shepherd, that caused him to say, I'm not going to let this happen. And even when it did happen, Peter drew his sword. He was well armed, and he's good with it because he sliced an ear off. You know, it takes quite a swordsman to be able to slice an ear without crushing the head or cracking it. He meant to hit, do just what he did. But Christ is coming to destroy Satan, who is death. There's going to be a war, and that war is going on right now. You know, why and where do you think some people get the urge to behead people? You surely don't think it comes from our Heavenly Father. You know, it comes from Satan. Satan who instilled Molochism, which is to burn your own children or cause them to blow themselves up, you know, in fire. The war is on, and you better wake up to what kind of war it is we're fighting, because we're looking at him square in the face, and his evil spirit is on this earth. In the same place, Iraq, old Babylon, where he has been from the beginning. What a fantastic time to live in and to give thanks to our Father that he protects us, that he gives us the knowledge, the will, and the technology to be utilized by him. Now, he didn't come to bring peace with Satan. You can't make peace with Satan. That's been proven even in the first earth age, Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, where he said to Satan, you're sentenced to death. I'm going to turn you to ashes from within. He's just using him now to shape you up, maybe to help you find salvation. What a fantastic word, confess, that Christ, homo logos, he's going to stand up for you before God and say thank you for having been my servant, when really it's him that we need to thank, because he gives us the power. He's the one that said, I give you power and authority. That's why we have that power, that we can order an evil spirit to be afraid of us. If you'll stand up to them in the name of Jesus, that means death to them. They're going to run from your family. Don't just let them take your family over like you were an imbecile. You're a child of God. Act like it. Okay, let's go to Psalms 116, Old Testament, the rest of the lecture. Psalms 116. Psalms 116 reads, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Do you know he always does that? That's your wishes. He hears them. He may not grant them. If they're going to harm you, he's not going to let it happen. Why? He loves you. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Don't ever forget that. He's always there. The shepherd's always there. 3, the sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And without him, that's what'll happen. Okay? That's what will happen to you. You know what, when you see hell, what's really, it's just to see the grave. I see that people die here on earth. But you see what he's saying, there's a lot more after that. Okay? Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Take care of it. Okay? Save me. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I will confess you. When you know what salvation is about, what he expects from you. Gracious, verse 5, is the Lord, and righteous. I mean, he does only what's right. Yea, our God is merciful. He shows you mercy and love. You know, that's one thing, if you ever needed something to be thankful for, is that word mercy, because you know what a sinner you are. You know how you fall short. And he has mercy on you, unmerited favor. You don't deserve it, it's what it means. But he gives it to you anyway. Why? Christ so loved you that he died on the cross to pay for your sins. When you repent and you're not playing around, playing church, but you mean business. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. He always takes care of his own. If you have the faith to know that. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. That means your confidence. Let that confidence return to you that he's watching over you. For the Lord hath dealt bountiful with thee. He always does. He owns everything. He's going to take care of you. Verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. He does that. Do you believe it? You better have faith enough to know and believe it. He's our shepherd through him, Emmanuel, God with us. He cares. Verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That, you know what that means? I'm going to serve him. I'm going to be fit for something. I'm going to be a seed planter. I'm going to show people what a child of God looks like. I'm not showing off, but confidence to know that he loves you, that he cares, that he is with you. And you can be an influence on other people that are lost, abandoned. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Faith will always pull you through. Okay, 11. I said in my haste, all men are liars. And you know something? A lot of times they don't intend to, but they are. So, and there's, I hate to tell, you know, I hate to add to this, there's no gender in this, okay, really. It's, it means all of us a little bit, okay. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Question. Ask yourself, what does he want from you? What does he want out of you? What does he expect from me? Verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to do it his way. And that cup of salvation naturally can be his communion. Of that meaning, I believe he died for me, and that when he enters me, that my sins can be forgiven when I act right, when I repent and so forth. 14. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Don't ever be ashamed of serving the Lord. You know, we live in a generation where many times if you mention, I'm a Christian, they say, okay, you're a what? I'm a Christian. Oh, you believe that stuff? You better believe it. That's why I'm blessed a lot above you. Okay? That's one way of handling it. I'm not saying that to you all, okay? Because you love him also, and you know how he blesses. 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Saints are the separated ones. That's God's elect. He has a hammer, a string on each one of them. He knows where they are, what they're doing, and he counts on them. And it is precious when one of the remnant comes on and joins the army in heaven. I mean, it makes him feel, even the angels rejoice when one accepts truth. Verse 16, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. Are you? Think about it. Ask yourself. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. He will set you free. In what? Christ. You're a Christ man. He will set you free. Who will? God will. He gives you power, authority. He takes care of what you can't. What do you expect? Verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. What does God want? Did it say burnt animals? It didn't say that. It says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. He doesn't want burnt offerings. He wants your love. This word thanksgiving is an amazing word in the Hebrew. And I hope I can remember that. Notes keep falling on the deck there. This is a Hebrew word. It's T-O-W-D-A-H. It's pronounced in that tongue, tuda, which is to say the putting forth of a hand. And it comes from yada, Y-A-H-D-A-W, yada. It also means to put forth a hand. Do you know that's kind of what our handshake is? It's a contract. It is also putting forth the hands to receive and to praise. That's what the word means, to give thanksgiving to Almighty God. Tuda and yada. Thanksgiving. That's what he wants, is the expression of your love and the commitment. You know, a real man or woman, when they shake on something, that's better than a contract with most people. Better than a written, signed, and sealed contract. If they be a real Christian and they shake on it. See, that's what this means. Is putting forth the hand. In witness, again, it is also that legal term of thanksgiving. It is also making a covenant. And in praising Almighty God. Because when he sees you do what's right, and making that commitment, and at the same time, in the outreached hand of making the covenant, praise him. What a witness that is. You see, that's basically the same thing as the Greek word we discussed earlier, homologos, the word. Okay, almost the same. A legal witness. You see, God knows who you are. And again, he doesn't want your burnt offerings. He wants your love. He wants you to love him. Do you know that's what makes the world go round? Is our Father's love for us, and he expects our love in return. Do you want to be blessed, or do you want to have rough knocks in life? It's up to you. It's not his choice. It's yours. You can either bring the fire of hell down on yourself, or you can bring down the love of God in your life. That's up to you. Whatever you do, whatever you say to him. And don't ever listen to some fruitcake that will tell you he doesn't really exist. And I'll tell you what, if you had ever been in my shoes at healings, at corrections, of feeling his presence, of seeing the healing, seeing the forgiveness, feeling it, and you know he is real. When you apply that love to him, he always returns it. And then you find out what life is really all about. Open your Bibles now, if you would, to Psalms chapter 50. Psalms 50, verse 4, in this great psalm from our Heavenly Father. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. He is judge. You don't have any business judging someone. You can discern, but don't you dare ever judge somebody. Okay? Verse 5, gather my saints, that's my set aside ones, God's election, together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Well, what kind of sacrifice is that again? Love. Commitment. Letting him know that you do love him. That you do care. Okay. Verse 6. And the heaven shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. Selah means stop the music. And let's think about this. What is this pause in the music going to declare? It's a call to hear true worship, and it connects with things that come into judgment. Okay? Now, things that come into judgment, we continue. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee, I am God. He has that privilege, even thy God. I'm not some fake. I have the right to judge. I will judge. No one will take my place in that. If you're not pleasing to God, I'm sorry, there's no other way. If he's not happy with you, inasmuch as he is the judge, for there is no other judge, Satan will try to make you think he's a judge, but you would end up the same place he's going to, in a lake of fire. Verse 8, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings. I've been continually to have been continually before me. Had that stuff there all the time. You kept it coming. I want you to get this thought, because it's in the Hebrew. You've been giving it to me, is what you think. I'll say it again. You've been giving it to me, you think, the burnt offerings. Verse 9. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. You know why? For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills, they're all mine. They don't belong to you in the first place, and you're going to sacrifice them to me? I don't think so. That's why he's not happy with that type of sacrifice. Well, what kind of sacrifice is he talking about? Your love. He wants you to love him for what he has done for you. He's proved himself. How about yourself? Have you proved yourself? 11. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. I own them. You can't give them to me. They're mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine. And the fullness thereof. I don't really need your offerings like that. If I'm hungry, I know where to go get fed. It's mine, anyway. Verse 13, will I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? Question. 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Do you know what that word thanksgiving is? It's tudah. It means I want you to put forth your hand in witness to me. I want you to reach forth that hand in love. And I'll add, let's shake on it. So I know I've got you. I've got it covered. Shake on it. put forth your hands, and while you're at it, while they're out there, praise me a little bit. Lift up someone else and with that hand outreached. And then pray and thank me and come to me meekly and honorably with your love. Not some burnt carcass. Don't want it. It's mine already anyway. I want that reaching out. I want that witness of covenant. That's what it means, beloved, okay? Do you know what a covenant is? That's a contract. I'm yours and you're mine. That's what God wants from you. He wants you to say, I love you and I am yours. Use me. Take my sacrificial love and enjoy it. Give God pleasure. Do you know why God created you? For His pleasure. Have you ever read the last verse of Revelation chapter 4? God created all things for His pleasure. You do something that doesn't give God pleasure, and guess where you stand? You want to always be sure you give Him pleasure. You know how hard that is? Just tell Him you love Him. You know, how does it make you feel when one of your children says to you, I really love you? Or you know, or a friend just says to you, I really love you. You're important to me. You're a child of God. You're important to humanity and God's plan of salvation. That means a lot. Well, that's what He wants to hear from you as well. I'm yours. I'm in the field. I'm in the field where there is evil. Protect me. Give me knowledge and wisdom, and I will be thy servant. That's what He wants. That's what that outreaching of the hand is. Tuto, that's exactly what the word means, my friend, is an outreached hand. In contract, in covenant, thanksgiving. I thank you to our Heavenly Father. That's what He wants, okay? So there's a great deal more to the word than the English, thank you, thank you, thank you for the many things you have brought me. Thank you, thank you. No, contract, depth, means something. It's a legal witness that I mean exactly what I say when you talk to God with that. That's what He wants, okay? Naturally, I don't want to blow that totally out of proportion. But I want to nail home the meaning of Tuah and Yara. That when you put your hand on something, whether it be praise, prayer, singing worshipfully, or shaking hands with God, let it be true. Don't play games with Him. Because that's what He said right here. Offering unto God thanksgiving, Tuah Yara, my hand, my promise, my witness, my covenant, my praise. You're saying all that when you say that. Pay the thy vows unto the Most High. You pay your love to Him. Or get left out. It's that simple. If you want to be left out, no problem. He can handle that too. You're just out. Continuing then with verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. You got trouble? I don't know what to do. Call on Him. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That glorify means praise, that hand out there. Thanksgiving. Did He say, call on me, and if I want to, I will do that? No, He said, call on me, and I'll help you. You may not like the way He helps you sometimes, but it'll be for your betterment. You can trust Him. Verse 16. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? You like to talk a godly talk. Let's see some action. What can I expect out of you? 17. Seeing thou hatest instruction, that's only a fool. All right, a fool hates instruction. They just want to keep falling in the ditch over and over. Thou castest my words behind thee. You won't listen. You won't put that hand out there to shake. You won't study the word. You won't be sincere. Verse 18. When thou sawest the thief, then thou commendest to him, with him, consenteth with him, rather. and has been partaker with adulterers. If you don't do anything, if you don't say anything, you're a part of it. Okay. Well, I don't want to go over there and get in a mess with my neighbors. Well, don't. That's not what he means exactly. Set the good example. Okay, verse 19. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Boy, don't get caught in that position, my friends. Don't lie. Don't ever try to lie to God. He can read your mind. Only, I mean, how bad of a fool would you have to be to try to lie to God when you know He can read your mind? He knows what you're thinking. How stupid could somebody be? Verse 20, thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. Isn't that a shame? I really hate to see trouble in families. I know it happens. Man, sometimes it can go on for years between a couple of brothers. And what a waste. You know what is the best medicine for that? Communication in the Father's Word and with each other. And you know what? You always find out that you took little words out of context and built up a solid wall that doesn't exist. It's in your mind, your imagination. Be wiser than the serpent. Don't let him get a hold on you like that, that you would slander your own mother's children. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. I'm going to straighten your mess out. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. You know, He is the deliverer. If you lose Him, you lost it all, friend. Whoso offereth praise, glorify me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. It'll come. It'll be there. That's His promise. Do you know something? God always keeps His word. Do you keep yours? That's the question. When you put forth your hand to serve Him, to talk to Him, to commit to Him, to covenant with Him, always mean it. Because, like I said earlier, only a fool would put forth his hand to God when he knows in his mind he's being deceptive, because God can read your mind. He knows what you're thinking. Over and over in Scripture has it been said, you know, that Jesus knew what they were thinking when they were a block or two away, and then he would correct them. In closing, let's go to Psalms 136. God doesn't mind asking. God doesn't mind letting you know. You know, our Father, when you walk out at night and it's a beautiful night and you look up and you see a star-studded sky, beautiful, magnificent from east to west and west to east, north to south, not so much to the north but to the south, and you see that beauty, your Father did that. Well, why did He do it? For you. So that you could enjoy it. The universe is our Father's, what He owns. He said to God's elect, don't give them any inheritance. I'm their inheritance. So if He owns it, you do. So you see, you've got a lot to be thankful for. You're somebody. You're a child of God. You know what? You want to always act like it. Act like it. Again, He doesn't mind declaring. Psalms 136 in closing. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I guess you know what that word thanks is? Shut up. Put forth your hand. Covenant with God over it. He is good. And He shows mercy means he forgives you. And boy, some of you have a lot to be forgiven for. You know, all of us down through life. And he does it. What? Unmerited favor. What he says, put your hand out here and take hold of mine. Verse 2. Oh, give thanks. Get your hand out here. Yada. Unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. There is no other God. You got people that will try to tell you there's the God of the night and the God of the forest and the God of Satan. There is just only one. He's the creator of all things. And what is beautiful about it, he's your Father. And he's asking you over and over, put out your hand in covenant with me. Put out your hand and be mine. Follow me. Love me. Witness for me. I will witness for you. Do you understand that? Yada, that's, it says all that. He says, praise me. That means to praise me maybe doesn't quite catch it. It's rejoice with me. Be happy with me.
Well, brother, you don't understand. I've got trouble in this world that nobody knows. I'm a poor me baby. I've got nothing to rejoice about.
God built it for you. And you say, you think for a moment you don't have anything to rejoice about? Get off of it. Get off your pity party. And know that you're a child of God. And he's saying, get your hand out here. Covenant with me. Shake on that. Verse 3. Oh, give thanks. Yada. Get your hand out here. Covenant with me. To the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Do you know what that means to you? As long as you live and keep sinning, his mercy is still there for you. Man, that is something to be thankful for. Because you know why? You need it. You need it bad. That he forgives you. He has that unmerited favor, even when you don't deserve it. Put your hand out here, child. Love me. Witness for and with me. Take forth my word. Verse 4, to him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, put those stars out there for you, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day. So you got daylight out there and something that'll grow crops. If it wasn't for the sun, you couldn't grow a bean. Okay? We'd all suffer. Okay? For his mercy endureth forever. It's repetition, yes. But it's still your Father. His mercy is forever, and you can forever count on it. Verse 9, the moon and the stars to rule by night. He continues on. Skip to the last verse to close this lecture. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. That word thanks, yada. Put your hand out here. Let's shake on these things. I'm the one that created them, but you are the inheritor thereof. It's for you. All for you. That you can enjoy. What a gigantic thing in our lives that we have to be thankful for. Our Father's creation. That he did it for us. You might say, well, how do we know it's for us? Well, are you breathing? He created the air for you so you could breathe. Okay? I mean, some of us kind of like to cut it short. Lord. But he did it for us. You want to get your hand out there when he asked for it. That's what the word thanks. Tuda and yada. Me, shake on it with Almighty God. Praise him while you're at it. And when you shake hands with one of your mother's children or the family of God, when you shake on it, that's your promise. That's yourself. That's your being. That's your reputation. Always remember that. how God loves you, that He did all this for you, that you could be a blessing to others and take that message and pick them up. Shake on it. He loves you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the word. Thank you for being with us. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen, amen, amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
They got a big surprise when our president took care of business and still is. I am so very proud. You know, this isn't the first time. We've done this many times before, and we've tried to keep this away from the American population, our children, to protect them from these sort of things. Well, we let it go too long by rogue scholars destroying our intelligence service, calling the CIA, making a joke out of it, some rogue pervert to destroy our intelligence, whereby we don't know what's going on behind. We found out what was going on behind closed doors. They wanted to kill us. And do you think that Americans on an aircraft would ever have, if they had known what was happening behind closed doors, would have allowed them to fly those jets into the Bell Towers? No. The same thing would have happened that happened to the other flight where the American citizen says, let's roll. And they took care of business. Our boys and girls are taking care of business. They're taking care of the bad guys. And we're winning big time, a lot bigger time than what some of these reporters, I guess I'm maybe going too far here, but if a reporter is a traitor to this nation by catching one of our young Marines taking care of business, I mean, these people want to kill us, and you have a split second to make your mind up whether somebody's about to frag you, and because they want to die coming out the gate. Understand that. They're taught, man, you're going to have virgins in heaven. All you have to do is go down the hard way. And you get some, I won't call him that name, but he's not an American that would take a film and try to doctor it, and it was, and then give it to a foreign news service and have it played right back to our enemy. That was just, and you know what the enemy does? They'll say, well, that was so bad about our people. And here, they've got people cut, beheading people. What's wrong with that picture? Our boys and girls, I am so proud of them. They're doing God's work, and don't anybody ever try to take anything away from that. So, Judy, that's your answer. They're going to do good. God's in control, and He's giving us the victory big time, okay? Josh from Kentucky, if you wanted to help someone, how would you do? Because I would like to know how I could tell my sister to not judge me, because I was watching your program. That day you said to not judge people, that you should leave it to the Lord, but I don't know how to say that. Can you tell me? Well, we were saying that in Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, go back and read it and absorb it, okay? Read it to her, if you would. Because to judge is a bigger sin than some of the sin that was mentioned in chapter 1, which is perversion, men leaving off the use of women as is natural, and vice versa. He said, judging somebody is worse than that. Earl from, that's Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Earl from California, I've been watching your program for several years now, and I've never heard anyone ask this question. In Ezekiel 28, verses 18 and 19, God tells Satan, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of you, it shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold you. All they that know you among the people shall be astonished at you. You shall be a terror, and never shall you be any more. And that's true. That's an accurate quote from Ezekiel 28, 18 and 19. However, in Revelation 20:10, it says the devil that received them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Those are his other roles. That was just roles that were taken away from him. And shall be tormented day and night and forever and ever. This is only an apparent contradiction. No, it isn't. And simplify back to you. It's not a contradiction. Do you know what thinyi means? Overdone ashes? If you've studied with me that long, you have a companion Bible. In Psalms 37, Psalms chapter 37, has an acrostic hidden in the Hebrew that tells you, when the question is asked, why does it always seem like the wicked people get ahead? And God makes it very clear they don't. And the acrostic says, in the second part, they're going to be like the fat that drips from a lamb being on the spit. All right, you know, it goes into the fire and the smoke goes up. And the smoke goes up forever and ever. And the third part of the acrostic is that you will be there to see it on Judgment Day. Forever, tormented forever and ever, it means to cease existing forever and ever. To be turned to ashes. Meaning, fini, it's over, it's a Hebraism, figure of speech, metaphor, doesn't exist anymore. You know, otherwise you're going to break over into the old common teaching of many churches today. Well, yes, there's the ark of, there's God's throne in heaven, and here we've got all of God's little children around here rejoicing, and here's this big lake of fire, and old Uncle Ben, he's in right in the middle of it screaming his head off, and that's heaven. Well, that doesn't sound like heaven to me, okay? Why? Because that'd be a lie. There's not even a tear shed there, not even a bad thought. So when somebody is blotted out and turned to ashes, it means we don't even remember them anymore. It's like they never existed. Even Satan. That's what it means. So there's not a contradiction, okay? Ronald from Missouri, or maybe Maryland. Let's see if we can find out. Hello and thank you. You're so welcome. I have many questions, but how to ask, I will try to express my thoughts. Where do the souls come from that are born of Cain? Where do the souls come from that were born of the fallen angels? To make the beings giants, Geber, that God destroyed in the flood. I know that in time this would all be on the next I'll know, next to age, I suppose, but for now it's a curiosity. Well, it shouldn't be, in knowing that God is fair, and we kind of covered that in the ninth chapter of Romans, where he said, I can take from the same lump of clay and I can make a flower vase, or I can make a bed chamber pot. In other words, and in the same chapter he would say, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. What it has reference to, you're born into what you deserve. Okay, same soul taken from there and placed in that embryo. And what it does, don't count the fallen angels themselves. The Geber have a chance to survive. The fallen angels left their place of habitation when they knew better. That's to say, they refused to be born of woman and tried to seduce, and did seduce woman. So God has them in chains for destruction. They won't have an opportunity. But all others, even though they're born into what they deserve, they have the right to work up and come out of it and be children of God. God is always fair. And for those that had more to pay for there, they're going to pay for it here. Vicky from Pennsylvania, Ezekiel 44, where one of the elect can cross over and teach a family member for 7 days. Is that 7 days 1 week? Yes. But it's not that you can be with the family. It takes you 7 days to purify before you can go back into Christ's presence. Ryan from Florida. What are Asherah poles and what are they for? It's, the word means straight, Asherah, and it means it's a Phoenician god, and it kind of comes from Asheroth, that particular god, and that means star, Ishtar. It's where Ishtar is a pagan holiday that was a sexual forest type ordeal early in the spring, and that's where our word Easter comes from, quite frankly. Hope that helps you. Joy from Virginia. My son has a question. He's 19. But why, if heaven is perfect, why was the angel something of Jesus, angel jealous of Jesus? I thought this, he would not have thoughts. He gave us free will there. I answered that in the last lecture. I'm going to let that do it. Why? Because I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love y'all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. But do you know what's most important? God loves you for it. It's the letter he sent to you, giving you instructions on how to be happy, even in these flesh bodies. Okay? And when you make his day, guess what? He's going to make yours in return, because that shows your love for him in appreciating and reading his letter. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God. Know what? He will always bless you. Most important, this. Stay in his word every day. In his word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus is the living word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
Introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package